Okay, today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Tet. We're going to start about six lines from the bottom. Amar Rav. We were talking about dinim of yad and dinim of shomer and differences between them. A yad, again, is a handle of something that you'd be able to hold the item using the handle. And the shomer is something that protects it. So now we're going to have another machloka, Rav and Rav Yochanan. We ended with machloka between them, another one. Ein yad lepachot mikazayit ve'ein shomer lepachot mikipul. Okay, meaning, if you want a yad to be something of significance, right, if we're going to have a din of yad, it's only if there's at least a kazayit of the item attached to the yad. And ein shomer, remember the yad isn't mitzareif, we saw that yesterday, so the item has to be already a kazayit itself, because that connects with, that only in shomer do we say it's mitzareif to come up with a full shiur, but not in yad. And ein shomer lepachot mikipul. In order for it to be a shomer, even though we said it could be mitzareif for tumat ochlin, not for tumat avela, but for tumat ochlin, yes, it could be mitzareif, but you need at least an amount of a pool. A pool is a fool, is a bean. It's a little bean. So it has to be the size of a bean at least in order to then say, well, the shomer, whatever's protecting it, can add to the shear to get to the shear that we need. Right? It would be a kabetza when it comes to dine tumat ochlin. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yesh Yad lepachot mikazayit, v'yesh shomer lepachot mikipul. So he says there could be a yad lepachot mikazayit, and there could be a shomer less than a fool. Okay, there is a din there. So now we're going to say here, we're going to now have Meitibe. We're going to have a number of questions on Rav Shita. Shnei atzamot, v'alehen shnei chatzei zeitim. Okay, we have, now we're talking about bones of a dead person. Bones of a dead person are metame ba'ohel, only if you have a kazayit. Okay, so right, again, this is only going to be depending on what kind of tumah we're talking about, what the shiur is needed. Remember, a kibetza would be for tumat ochlin. You need a kazayit of a bone of a mate in order for, let's say it's inside a house. So anything inside that space now is going to become tameh. So now we have two atzamot, two bones. Valehensh, but you need, okay, now when we say a bone, we mean that a bone with flesh on it. It has to have flesh on it. So now you need a kazayit of flesh. So now we're going to say, shnei atzamot, valehensh, shnei chatzei zeitim. Okay, each bone has a half a zayit of flesh on it. V'echnis rashehen. Okay, imagine you have a bone, there's flesh on one part of the bone, but the part that ends up in the house is the other side. That's what it means, the
bone is sticking out of the house.
Right, the bone is sticking out of the house. The part that's in the house is the part that doesn't have the flesh on it. If the bayit creates an oel situation, right, meaning that it has a roof and, right, habayit tameh. The whole house is tameh. Yehuda ben Nekusa Omer Mishum Rabbi Yaakov, Heach Shnei Atzamot Mitzarfin LeKazayit. How can you have these two bones joining together for a kazayit? Meaning, each bone has to independently have a kazayit in it. So now here comes the question on Rav. V'Rav Hai B'Mai Okimla, what can you be making this case in? I B'Yad, if you're going to say the case is B'Yad, then kasha reisha. Again, what did Rav say? You need lefachot a kazayit. So the reisha makes no sense because each bone didn't have a kazayit in it. And iba shomer, if you say that the bone was a case of a shomer, that the bone was protecting the meat, okay, and then you'd be talking about that there was the marrow inside the bone and that that's the issue. Iba shomer, right, because there's a difference between dry bones or not going to be anything, but if there's marrow inside, that counts and the bone is protecting the marrow. Then kasha seifa. Then you're going to have a problem with the seifa. Why? Because if it's midin shomer, what did Rav say? Ein shomer lepachot mikiful, which means what? A fool is enough. And these bones had a fool. They just didn't have a kezayit, but they had a fool. So why would Yehuda ben Nekusa be telling Tanakama that how could these two atzamot mitzarfin lekezayit? First of all, it's obvious according to him the shear is a kezayit. The shear is a kezayit. That doesn't make sense if you're saying it's midin shomer. So neither one makes it, neither opinion works with Rav. So now they're going to say, Ibai Dema B'Shomer, Ibai Dema B'Yab. We're going to explain it both ways. Okay? Either you could say that he meant it was a shomer, or he meant it was he views this as a yad. Ibaitema biyad, if you say it's biyad, and then he says you need a kezayit, v'huda amar ki Rabbi Yehuda ben Nekusa. Why? Because that's exactly his problem. If it's midin yad, then what do we say? You need a kezayit. Comes Yehuda ben Nekusa to say, how can you be mitzari if these two things to a kezayit? Meaning he viewed it as yad, and he agreed with one of the opinions. And he doesn't agree with Tanakama, but he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda ben Nekusa. V'ibaitema v'shomer, v'huda amar ketanakama. This is the exact flip of the question. The question was, if you look at it this way, that opinion is difficult. And if you look at it that way, that opinion is difficult. So he just basically says, let's look at it either which way, and he holds like the other opinion, which then resolves your issue, right? It's very simple to say, he just holds like Tanakama. In other words, if you say it's shomer, he holds like Tanakama, who holds that these shnei chatzei ezeti were fine, because they're more than a fool, and therefore it can be ma'ahil, right? It can be mitame. And Yehuda ben Nekusa disagreed and said, you need a kezayit. But he just doesn't agree with him, and that's fine. Rabbi Yochanan, now they didn't ask this question of Rabbi Yochanan, but they're just saying, how does Rabbi Yochanan view this whole thing? Because again, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? He said, yesh yad l'pachot mikezayit. So what's he obviously going to hold like? He's going to hold that it's a din of yad. Rabbi Yochanan mar kula biyad. The issue is the bone is being mishamesh as a yad to the flesh. Behuda Amar Ketanakama, and he obviously holds like Tanakama, who says even though they don't have a kezayit, it's fine because he says you don't even need a kezayit for a yad. Okay. Second question on Rav. We're going to have, I think it's four altogether. Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kulit Sheyesh Aleha Kezayit. Remember what the Kulit is? It's the femur bone. Okay, the bone, if you remember, the leg had kind of, we have two sections in our leg, right? They have three, so it's the upper part of the leg bone, the upper bone that goes from, you know, from the second part up to the third. A kulit sheyesh aleha kezayit basar goreret kula letuma. As long as it has a kezayit basar, the entire bone, even the part that doesn't have flesh on it, is going to be metame. Acherim omrim, afilu, and that's only if, according to the first opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, if it has a kezayit on it. Right? You can see where this is going. Acherim omrim, afilu ein aleha keful, goreret kula letuma. He says, as long as it has a ful, then again, the entire thing will be tameh. Birav hai b'may mokim. Again, we're going to do the same structure as we did before. Each opinion is going to create a problem according to one way of reading it. Ibiyad, if we say it's biyad, then what does he say? You need a kezayit. Which case is going to be difficult? Which opinion? The second one, because Acherim said all you need is a ful. The Tanakama said you need a kezayit. So kezayit works fine with Rav, but the Acherim doesn't work. Ibiyad kasha sefa. This, by the way, is a bit of a strange structure, because it's not clear why they don't just obviously assume milchatchila that he's holding by one opinion. Ibishomer, I think part of the issue is that it all depends which opinion he's going to hold by. It's going to depend whether you view this case as a din of yad or this case as a din of shomer. Ibishomer kasher resha, because each of these cases, when you talk about a bone with some flesh, a bone with flesh could be the bone is protecting what's inside, the marrow, or it could be it's relating to the flesh that's outside and it's functioning as a handle. Ibishomer, then kasher resha, because according to Rav again, maybe now you have this down pat, what? You don't even need a kezayit. All you need is a ful. So then the resha doesn't make sense, because Rabbi Yehuda said it kulit that has a kezayit would be a problem. Would be mitame. So again, ibayt ema biyad, v'huda amar ka Rabbi Yehuda. Either you say the nosei is a yad, and then he matches Rabbi Yehuda. V'ibayt ema b'shomer ka acherim. I think the reason they set it up this way is because sometimes they ask a question so that you understand the answer better. And as again, if it was just very simply, he held like that opinion, they would say he holds like that opinion. But there's two possibilities, depending on whether it's shomer or whether it's yad, which opinion he would hold by. So in order to get there, they kind of raise it as a question and then answer it that. And then again, what's Rabbi Yochanan going to say? So Rabbi Yochanan, in this case, instead of saying kula b'yad, they say Rabbi Yochanan amar kula b'shomer. The whole thing is talking about din shomer, both opinions. And Huda Amar ke'acherim, and he holds like acherim. Why? Because what did acherim say, right? You don't need Right. No, well, let's go back for 1 minute. What did Rabbi Yochanan say about Shomer? Rabbi Yochanan said, Yesh Shomer lepachomi kiful. So if the shear is a full, it must be matching Rabbi Yochanan midin Shomer. So now they say, wait a minute. That's not true. He said, Yesh Shomer lepachomi kiful. And what was the shear that they gave, the Acherim said? Afilu ein aleha ela kiful goreret kula letuma. Sounds like it doesn't really match, because Acherim say you, as long as it has a full, the size of a full, and Rabbi Yochanan said you can even have a shomer even if it's less than a full. So what do they say? They question this. Acherim ha kiful ka'amre, right? Acherim say kiful, and Rabbi Yochanan said it doesn't even need to have a kiful. So what do they answer? I did a ka'amre tana kama shiura ka'amre inu nami shiura. Acherim were disagreeing with the Tanakhama, which is really Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda said you need a kesayit, and they say you need a full. But they didn't really mean you need a full. They just, and since he gave it a shear of a kesayit, they said no, it's not a kesayit, it's a full. But they mean you don't even need a full. But they kind of worded it to contradict him and say you certainly don't need a kesayit. So they gave some other shear, but really they mean less. Now that's a very strange answer, because it's hard to say that they said a shear and they didn't really mean the shear that they said. Okay, it's a very odd answer. But again, they want to make Rabbi Yochanan match up here. Okay. Amar Rav. Daika, what's the bet? Rabba. Should be Rabba with a hey. Daikanami de Beshomer Askina. And here's going to be their proof why it's more likely that it's talking about Beshomer. Like they said, Rabbi Yochanan views this as a Shomer. Why? De Katane Kulit, Shmamina. A Kulit bone was known to have a lot of marrow inside. So the reason they specifically said a Kulit and not just any bone must be because they were talking about it Midin Shomer and not Midin Yad. Okay, now we're going to sidetrack for a minute and just show that there's another machloket about this, Itmar, about this topic we were just talking about. Rabbi Chanina Amar about this Acherim. Okay, so when Acherim said, right, we said it was very strange. It didn't seem to match Rabbi Yochanan. What they say? Acherim said, Afilu ein aleha ela kiful, goreret kula letuma. It sounds like you need a full. And we said, no, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you don't. And if Rabbi Yochanan is matching up with this, it really means you don't. So Rabbi Chanina said about this Mishnah, Rabbi Chanina Amar Zehu Shi'ur. He said, this is the shiur, you need a full, according to Acherim. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, ein ze shiur. And here you see Rabbi Yochanan matches up. He says, it's not really a shiur. It's just saying, you know, you don't really need a kazayim, but you don't really need a shiur. So now, again, they question the exact same way, and they're going to answer it the exact same way. Ein ze shiur, vahakatane, kiful. How could you possibly say they didn't mean this is a shiur when it says kiful? So again, adi de ka'amar tanakama, which is Rabbi Yehuda. Shiura, kamri inunami shiura. Okay, in other words, they were just giving a shiur to compare to the first opinion, but they don't really mean it literally. Okay, next question against Rabbi Yochanan. We're up to, against Rav. Question number three. Tashma. Rav Elazar ben Azaria, okay, well, I need to give you some background. We're talking here about a pea pod. Now, a pea pod has three parts to it. There's the beans inside, the peas inside. There's the what do you call it? The shell or the, right, the thing it sits in, which we're going to call the pod. Okay, that's a good word. The pod, which they're going to call the sharvit, okay? And then, if you buy, let's say, snow peas, right, what's attached to the edge? There's the stem. Okay, there's a little stem, which obviously, when you buy it in the store, it's just a single stem, but often there will be lots of pods coming out of that stem before they cut them all. So those are the three parts. So now they're going to say, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria is talking about the sharvit here. Okay, the sharvit, there's a mission in Oktzin, mitaher b'shel ful, umitame b'shel kitni. If you have the sharvit, okay, now the assumption is most of the peas fell out of the pod already. And now all you're left with is, let's say, one pea inside. So if the pea is the shape of a ful, which means it's big, in this case, ful is large, relatively speaking. Okay, there's going to be the size of a ful and the size of a kidney, right? A kidney is, you know, kidney oat. They're usually very small items. So if the pea inside is the size of a ful, then what do you say? The pod is not being shomer on the fool because it's big enough to be on its own. It doesn't need protection. But if it's very small, then the sharvit, okay, that's why it means mitaher b'shum fool. But okay, you need the extra words here, which are missing, which is they're talking about the sharvit. The sharvit will be tahor because it's not serving to protect what's inside. But if it's the size of a kidney and that's all that's left inside, well, then without the shell protecting it, then without the pod, it's going to need, right? It's not going to be protected, and therefore the pod is needed, and therefore it's mitame in that case. Mishum sherotze bimash misham. What does that mean? The issue here is that we're worried when you're mimashmesh, you touch it, it's going to get all dirty and you won't be able to clean a teeny little piece. If you have a big round pea, you can easily clean that off. But a teeny one, you're not going to be able to, in which case you want it to be in the pod. The pod is protecting it from getting dirty, you know, and having to be cleaned. So in other words, this way, if the pod gets dirty, then you easily clean the pod. But the little thing that's inside is not going to be able to be cleaned well. So now, what's the issue here? The issue is that, what do you see here? The shiur of a shomer right here, a shomer of a fool is not, right, according to this, the shomer of a fool is not, right, what do you see here? That even something that's smaller than a fool has a din of shomer. That's what you see here. Because the sharvit to the little teeny gargir is going, the little teeny pea inside is going to work, the shavit is going to be a shomer. So that goes against Rav, who said, right? Remember, Rabbi Yochanan said, yesh shomer lepachomi kiful. That works perfectly. But Rav said there isn't. So now what do they answer? No, you misunderstood the case. It's not talking about the shavit. It's kedam ravacha berei derava bikulcha. It's talking about the stem. And then the din is not shomer, the din is umishum yad. The din is yad. Now, that makes it worse. Yad, you need a whole kesayim. But the point is, once you have a stem, you have a number of stems, and the number of stems are attached to a number of pods and a number of peas, and altogether you're going to have a kesayim, and therefore we're not worried. Hachanami bekulcha umishum yad. Okay, and therefore it's talking about the kulcha and midin yad. Well, what's the issue here then? Umay b'mashmishan. Well, then it's not the mashmishan that we're worried about you touching it and it'll get dirty and all that. So what do they answer? It's bitashmishan. Okay, you can see where they would confuse those two words. It means, okay, read it again. Mutame bishalkidi mibnesha rotse bitashmishan. In order to carry this, what do you need? Right? Tashmish is to carry it. You need the yad. If it's a teeny little pea, you're not going to be able to carry it by itself. If it's a big pea, it can be carried by itself. You don't need a yad. But there's a din of yad if the pea is teeny, because then you're going to need the yad to carry it. Tashma. Next question on Rav. Ditana de Rabbi Yishmael. Al kol zera zarua asher yizareha. Saw that already, right? This is the source we saw the other day. Kederech shebnei adam motziim chita b'klipata u'seora b'klipata v'adashim b'klipatan. What did we see here? That we learned the din that a shomer is mitzdarev to the shear of whatever it's protecting, because I'll call zera zarua asher yizareha, just like people plant the chita with its klipa, the adasha with its klipa, the sarah with its klipa, just like that, we count that for tuma. Now, what's the problem? Chita b'klipata is a chita and a seora and adashim. Are they a shear of a kizayit? In other words, According to this, we're talking about Din Shomer. What did he say? Lepachomi kiful. Now, these are even smaller than a fool. Okay, right? A bean is larger than a barley seed or a little grain of barley or a lentil or even maybe a chita. So what do you see here? The whole din of it is learned from something that's even smaller than that shiur. So how can you say that, right? And then again, it would match Rabbi Yochanan, who says, yesh shomer lepachomi kiful. Even smaller than that, we have a din of shomer. So they answer the question, the answer we've seen before when it came to Dine Bitul, Briashane. This is an entire entity. When we were talking about has to be a shomer, has to be shomer on something that's at least a fool, that's when you're talking about, let's say, skin on meat, and you have a little piece of meat left. But when it's an entire entity, then no matter what, it's going to count. By Rav Hoshaya. Shnei shomrim mahu sheyitzarfu. Okay, if you have two shomrim, can you join those two shomrim to one whole shiur? So now they say, hechidami, what's the case? What do you mean shnei shomrim? What exactly, what case are you talking about? Ilema bezeh al gavzeh. Let's say you have something protecting, and then you have another thing protecting on top of that. It sounds like Isser al Isser, right? That obviously, right? Umi ika shomer al gabe shomer. There's no such thing as a shomer al gabe shomer. Once it's protected by one thing, you don't need the outer layer. The outer layer doesn't count because it's not really protecting. What does it mean to be protected? Something that's already protected. Right? Imagine someone has policemen and then there's more policemen. Now you could say, well, maybe it needs super protection, right? You need policemen on those policemen and those, right? But you don't really. Once you have policemen protecting an area, so they're protecting the area, you don't need more. Okay, maybe it's not a good example because there maybe you could claim you need more. But basically, once something's protected, it's protected. V'hatzna, now here's going to be our proof that there is no din of shomer al gabe shomer. Rabbi Yehuda omer, shalosh klipot babatzal. Okay, what's the classic example? An onion. Now here's funny, right? You think about an onion, so you always peel away a few layers, right? How many layers exactly do you peel away? And okay, so there's the outer layer, which is papery, I would say in Mirkam, I'm thinking of the word in Hebrew.
It's texture,
okay. So Rabbi Yehuda says there's three klipot. There's the pnimit. Now here we don't mean the very inside of the batzal. We mean, let's say, the outer three layers. Okay, so you have the outer three layers. There's the papery. Then there's where it's still kind of orange, yellowy, you know, and then it gets a little inside, right? It gets more moist inside. So the pnimit, the third layer inside, bein shlema bein ketura mitzarefet. Whether it's whole or whether it has holes in it, hole or holes, but right, whether it's complete or it has holes in it, it's mitzdaref to the shiur. In other words, the question is, does this count toward the shiur? If it's a shomer, it's mitzdaref. But it's only mitzdaref as a shomer if there's no holes in it. Something that's protecting and has holes in it, that's obviously not protecting. So the third inner layer is considered part of the onion itself, right? That's the part that you would, depending on how dirty the onion was, maybe you peel it, maybe you wouldn't, it's really considered part of the onion. Emtsa'ith, the middle one, shlema mitzdarefet. If it's complete, then it's mitzdaref because it's a shomer. But if it's kedura, if it has holes in it, ein mitzdarefet. It's not going to join the shiur because it's not a proper shomer. And it's also not considered part of the onion because it's just the protective layer. Chitzona, but the papery layer outside, bein kach ubein kach teora, no matter what, that's not considered a shomer. So if something touches the outer layer of an onion, but not the inner layer, it's not going to become tamei midin shomer. So what do you see here? Why is the outer layer not midin shomer? Because it's a shomer, al gabe shomer. And that, right, shomer al gav shomer, is protecting something that already has an inner protective layer. And that's why we can't say, so again, where are we back to? The question was, Shnei Shomrim Ma'u Sheyitzdarfu. So they say it can't be that we're talking about a Shomer on top of another Shomer, because there is no such thing. Rav Hoshaya, Shomer Ochel Shechilko Kamibayale. His question was about a Shomer of food that we split in half. Okay, we'll talk about this, maybe we'll talk about it right now. There's Machloka Rashi Tosfot exactly what this means. So let's look at Rashi for a minute. Shomer Ochel Shechilko, Kigon. Ochel kebetza v'shomro alav. It was a kebetza and it had a shomer on it. V'chilko. Okay, and then they cut it in half. Okay, so they basically, let's say you had an onion, and I don't know if this is a great example, but you cut the onion in half, so there's a protective layer on one half and there's a protective layer on the other half. And then, let me just continue in the Gemara before I go back to the second option in Rashi. Kevan dahai lo magena hai, v'ha lo magena hai. In other words, since each one is protecting only part of the kibetza, but the other part isn't being protected by that part, do we say lo mitzdarefet? O dilma, or do we say kevan dahai magena didei, v'ha magena didei mitzdarefim? We have this one protecting that half, that one protecting that half, that should be fine. Okay? But Rashi gives another example, which seems strange, because it sounds like from the pshat, shomer ochel shechilko, that you split in half. But Rashi says it could even be o kigon shnei betzalim ketanim she'em b'nehem ela kebetza. Im shomrehem. You could have, right, two small. He's saying it doesn't even have to be that you split something in half, but you had two small ones. Each one didn't have a kebetza on their own, but together they had a kebetza, and this one's protecting that one, that one's protecting that one. Does the shomer, is it mitzarev to get to the shear of a kebetza? Tosfot has a different example. He says, lo shechel kol legamrei, like Rashi said, which actually Rashi has a bit of an issue because that's why I was thinking of the onion as an example. It's true, the onion now is protected, but it's only protected on part. Once you cut it in half, the protection is a little bit opened up, so to speak. So, and Tosfot says, if you chel kol legamrei, pshita delo mitzaref. Clearly they're not going to be joined. So what does he say it means? It means, if you look at the third line, the end of the third line, kigon sheyesh kam basar va'alav or, there's a piece of meat with the skin on it, v'chil kola or, all you did was split the skin. You didn't split the food. You split the protective cover. So now you have a piece of skin over here and a piece of skin over here. They're right next to each other, but they're cut in half. They're not a joint. But the food itself is still together. So then do we say that the shomer is mitzaref or not? So there's a bit of a debate about what exactly this question is, which is interesting because in the first case, they didn't even understand what the question was. Then the Gemara understood it, but then there's a debate among Rashi and Tosfot what exactly the question is. So let's try to find an answer. Tashma. Rabbi Azariah ben Azariah mitaher b'shel ful umitame b'shel kitni. We go back to that source that we saw before. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says the shervit, right, is tahor if it's a fool, and mitame b'shel kitni mipnei sherotze b'mashmishan. Okay, so now wait 1 second. We're going to say according to this. Right. So what do you have here? That 1 second. Right, the assumption here is that it can't possibly be that, in other words, Shavir Echad doesn't have a shiur of a kibetza. So what could we possibly be talking about? Right, it must be that he's talking about a few of them together, and this is maybe why Rashi gives the example of Shnei B'Tzalim, because this sounds more less like that they were split, but more likely that there's a bunch of individual ones. Okay, and yet what do we see? Each one is still protecting its own, and we can be mitzaref all that to a shear of a kibetza. Because it can't possibly be if there's a gargir of a kidney inside that there's a kibetza altogether there, right? It would have to be that there must be a bunch of them. Okay? It doesn't make sense that there's one little gargir and one sharvit. That's certainly not a kibetza. So you'd have to have a number of them, which means that we can be mitzaref these together. So that means, again, shnei shomrim ma'u shi'itzdarfu. Can you take a bunch of individual, again, whether it's they were split up or not, and do that? Okay. So now the assumption is, again, that we're talking about, this mission is talking about the shervit, and each shervit clearly doesn't have a kazayit, so therefore that would be the case. But, and there's not a kazayit of the fruit, for sure, right? There's not even, right, there's almost nothing. But then they say, no, you can't answer that, because we already explained. How do we explain this Mishnah? Amar Rav Acha b'Reid Rava b'kulcha u'mishum yad. This isn't talking about the shervit, this Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about the stems. And it's a whole bunch of stems, and they attach to a bunch of all these shervitim, which inside of them is a fool. And then, right, the whole din is a din of yad, and now we want to judge this one, which is attached to something which just has one little gargir. But in all of them together, we have a big shiur, and therefore you don't need to say that. So again, umay b'mashmishan, b'tashmishan. Okay, so therefore that can't provide proof for our question because it's not talking about a case where there's a bunch of shomrim together. It's din of yad, in which case it has nothing to do with shomrim at all. Tashma, next source, another source we're familiar with. D'tana d'bei Rabbi Yishmael, al-kol zera zarua asher yisareya, k'derach shebenei adam mosi'im lizri'a, chita b'klipata usora b'klipata v'adashim b'klipatan. Now again, what do you see here? That you certainly don't have a shear of a kibetza, so it must be that they mean a bunch of them together, and then they're mitzaref. Okay, so here you see the two different, right, shomrim on two different food items would be joined together. Okay, so now, again, they're going to say no, but now they could have answered what? What could they have? Bria, right? They don't answer that here. Okay, I read a note that said that it seems that it's not a great answer, so they prefer to go a different route. Just like in the previous case, Rav Acha said, it's talking about the stem and mishum yad. Hachanami b'shidra umishum shomer. They could say here also, we do have a case where we're not mitzdare, because think about it's called a sheaf of wheat, right? You have a sheaf of wheat with all the stringy parts and all the grains inside.
One of them is just a stalk.
Oh, okay, fine, thank you. What's the word? So a stalk of wheat, within the whole stalk of wheat, you have a lot of gargarim. They all together add up to a kibetza, and you could be talking about a case like that. I was actually wondering, I don't know, you know, we always think of stalks of wheat. I think barley grows the same way. I don't know how lentils grow. I wonder if lentils also grow in it, because otherwise then you're going to have the same question on the lentils. I didn't see a reference to that. Okay. So anyway, what do we say now, though? According to this, bishlama ilita tzriche latatita. Ela tatita, my tzricha le'ilita. Okay, what's ilita and tatita? The upper and the bottom ones. Now you could say, what's the assumption? That the upper, the lower, let's say you take out the lower grains from the stalk. What's going to happen? All the upper ones are going to fall out. So we understand those are needed for the upper ones. But the upper ones aren't needed, right? The ela tatian, my tzricha le'alita, they don't need the upper ones, so the upper ones aren't really a shomer for the bottom ones. So therefore, how could you say that that's the case? In other words, the assumption is that they're not going to be, right, so then I guess you don't need the protection of it. In other words, the assumption here is that the whole thing is providing protection. One second. Right, what we're going to say is that all the shomrim here protect, right, there's the shomrim on the klipot above are protecting also, the ones below are protecting the ones above, but they're not protecting the ones from above are not protecting the ones below. Because nothing will happen to the ones below if the upper ones fall off. So what are the answer? Tzricha li'ilita b'chad dara. It's when they grow, okay, they all kind of grow in one row. Okay? Where there's this case, you know, they're saying they're looking at the grains within one row. And if you take out, let's say, the middle one, it might affect the ones on the sides. Okay? Assuming they're all going in one row. That doesn't really help you, because umiika kibetza ochlin b'chadara. Could you really have a kibetza of food in one row? That doesn't sound right. So here's our creative answer. When you wonder why they didn't go back to the bria shane, which would have been a better answer. B'chite de shemo man shetach. It's in the chitim, in the time of Shimon ben Shetach. Okay? So what on earth are we talking about here? So, Rashi doesn't quote the whole thing, but there's a Gemara in Tani which talks about in the days of Shimon ben Shetach, he was the guy who got rid of all the witches, if you remember the famous story, and his sister was married to, I think, Yanai HaMelech, and he was both a big Talmid Chacham and had connections with the Malchut because she was married to... She's married into royalty. And anyway, they say that things were so good in his day that there was tons of rain and the chitim were gigantic. So we're talking about a case when the chitim were gigantic and then you would have it. Okay? Seems a little of a stretch. Well, now they say, Hashadati lahachi chada chita nami b'chita d'shema ben shetach. You could even say one chita now. In other words, forget about saying they're in one row. They don't even have to be in one row. You can have one individual, and it's already the size of a kibetza. Okay. Gufa. Now we're going to go back to something we saw earlier in the daf, the case about the two atzamot in the house, the atzamot of a person who died, and will it be betame ba'oal? Shnei atzamot v'alehen shnei chatzei zeitim v'chnis rashehen shneim labayit, right? They put the other end, right? The end that didn't have the meat on it, inside the house. V'habayit ma'ahil alehen habayit tameh. Yehuda ben Nekusa omer m'shem Rabbi Yochanan he'ach shnei atzamot mitzarfim l'kizayim. So now we're going to have a limitation on this Mishnah. Amarish Lakish. Was it a Mishnah? I actually don't remember. A Mishnah or a... It's a Tosefta in Oalot. Okay. So we're going to have a limitation on this Tosefta. Amarish Lakish, lo shanu ela etzem, dehave yad. This would only be a case if it's a bone, which functions as a handle. Okay. Aval nima lo havya yad. But a hair, remember we talked about the other day, what wouldn't be a yad, right? A hair with meat attached to the end wouldn't be a yad. That makes sense, right? Because a hair doesn't really hold anything. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu nima havya yad. Even a hair can function as a yad. Wow, that's a strange opinion. We're going to have to deal with this and try to understand what does he mean. So Etive Rabbi Yochanan the Rish Lakish. We're now going to have three versions of what goes on, which is going to affect a little bit how we view what the machloket is between the different opinions here. Okay, and that's what the machloket is between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. In which case they argue, in which case they agree. What we're going to see, there's different types of situations with a hair. Okay, there's a hair, I'll already kind of preface it, there's a hair that could be, there's a whole bunch of hairs together, and then the idea is, what about one hair? Can we view that as a yab when it comes with a whole bunch of other hairs? Or it could be just one hair on its own. Right? One hair on its own, it's much less likely to say we're going to view this as a yab. But if you have a whole bunch of hairs that are attached to meat, already those hairs become strong. Right? Think of a ponytail. Right? That's already a strong bunch of hairs that could hold meat. And then the question is, what if you have one strand from that bunch? The bunch already has Shem Yad on it, so the strand could also have Shem Yad. So, Etive Rabbi Yochanan the Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan questions Rish Lakish from the following source. Or sheyesh alav kezayit basar, so now you have skin with a kezayit of meat attached to it, hanogea betziv hayotze mimenu, ubisa'ara shekenegdo tamei. If you touch the, what's it, sieve? A sliver?
A sliver
of meat, right? Chuta basara, she says. You touch a piece of meat, hayotze mimenu, right? If you're tameh, you're going to make it tameh. Ubisa'ara shekenegdo. If you have a se'ar, that's, okay, what does it mean kenegdo? So we talked about this with shomer. Maybe I didn't actually translate this term well enough. But what it means is, let's say there's, right, every time I think of skin and meat, I think of like chicken, right? You have a thigh of chicken. There's a piece of skin on top of it. That means shekenegdo, right? If you have a piece of skin hanging off the side of it, that's not shomer. It's only shomer when it's on top of the meat. So if it's kenegdo, if where the skin is, there's a hair there, then we're going to say it's also tameh if it touches the hair. So now, what do you think the se'ar is a din of? Well, it must be mishum yad, right? My lav mishum yad, in which case, what do you see here? That even a se'ar can be midin yad. And what did Rish Lakish say? It can't be. So Rish Lakish says, lo midin mishum shomer. No, it must be that hair, especially, notice it said kenegdo, only if it's opposite the meat. Remember, the yad doesn't have to be necessarily kenegdo, it just has to be attached. But, right, it can be attached from the side. So he said it must be midin shomer. So now what's the problem? You have a shomer agabe shomer because you have the skin and the hair is on the skin. Umiika shomer agabe shomer. So they say chilchule mechalchel. The hair went all the way through, punctured through. This sounds strange to us, but okay. It punctured through the skin and therefore functions as a shomer for the meat underneath. Matke flower of Acha bar Yaakov. Okay, now we're going to go off to like a whole different track. What are we going to say here? If we're going to say that the hair could go through the skin, okay, I think what they're debating is mitzius here. Could that really happen? If the hair goes through the skin in a general case, then what's going to be the problem? Elameata tfilin hechi katvinan. How can we write tfilin on the skin of an animal? It's now going to have, there must be holes, perforations. If it can tear through, then there's going to be holes there. Which means without any nicks in it, right? Without any holes. And then there won't be here. So they say, what kind of question is that? Ishtamitite, you forgot what they say in Eretz Yisrael. Kol nekev shadio over alav, eino nekev. The type of hole that we're talking about here is a small hole that will be easily filled up with the ink. So if the ink fills the hole and kind of covers it, then that's not considered a hole. Okay, that's one option. So what do we say here? Or sheyesh alav kezayit basar, right? Isn't it mishum yad? No, it's mishum shomer, and we're not worried about, right? It's chulei mechalta. Ibaitem, a second option. Kule mishum yad. It is mishum yad. But what's the case? Kida'ama rabi ila bimelai shebein hamelaim. Hachanami binima sheben hanimim. Like Rabbi Eli said about this mission in Uktzin, that it could be talking about the stalk of wheat, and it has all the strands that are, right, you think of a stalk of wheat, there's all these strands. So there's a case there where they talk about it's not just one of them, it's a whole bunch of them. And it's one that's separated from the whole bunch, meaning it's one out of a bigger part. Just like I said, like a ponytail, right? Here also, binima shebein hanimim. We're talking about a hair that was attached to many hairs. Okay? Behecha, now, so now they want to know, what case was this Rabbi Eli where he said this? Hecha itmar de Rabbi Eli. Aha, he said it about this. Milai shebeshibalim mitam'in umitam'in. One strand from the shibolet of chita can become tameh and can be mitameh. But they're not counted for the shiur. That makes perfect sense. Because it's a yad, but, right, yad is not mitzdarif. Milai lamai chaze. So they ask there, what on earth could one strand be relevant for, right? You can't hold the stalk of wheat on one strand. So amar bi'ilai b'milai shabein hamaleim. Okay, it's one from a whole bunch. That was the first reading. So according to the first reading, we have two possible answers. Either was a shomer, chulim echalchel, or it was midin yad, and it was an ima ben hanimim. Okay, according to this, everyone would agree that if you have one sa'ara among many sa'arot, it would be mishum yad, and the machloket is if you have one separate one. Because again, Rabbi Yochanan brought this as a question, Rish Lakish answered it by saying it was one among many. But it seems that if Rabbi Yochanan argues with that, he would say one by itself is still considered a yad. Okay, we're going to see that in the next Lishonot, that's not necessarily the case. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We'll pick up here tomorrow on the other two versions of this Machlokes.